Now I'm looking out into the congregation this morning to see if there are any children among us, although there may be children listening to worship today from other locations. So a message for the children and for the young at heart. And I have my basket, which will come in quite handy today since we're talking about lunch. Now, most people have heard before the story I just read from John's Gospel. In fact, of all Jesus' miracles, it is the one that appears in all four Gospels. It appears in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I must confess, my favorite account is the one we just read because it includes the detail of the young boy who happened to bring his lunch along. Now, I want us to think for a moment about the boy's lunch, because let me just say, it would not fit in a superhero's lunchbox. 5 barley loaves, not five slices of bread, but 5 barley loaves. So imagine, 5 of these for lunch, 5 of them. And then 2 fish. I'm not talking 2 fish fillet sandwiches from the local fast food restaurant. I'm not talking about little fish. Not even talking about cans of tuna. I'm talking about 2 fish. And I'm not exaggerating. They were probably about this big, dried and preserved so as not to spoil. So here's what I'm thinking. When that young boy was set out for the day, his mother gave him plenty of food to take along. In fact, I sort of suspect she wanted him to share what he had. And she clearly had taught him the importance of sharing because he did not hesitate for a moment when Jesus' disciples asked him to give them their lunch so that they could feed the crowd. Now, we don't know exactly how Jesus managed to take those 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and feed over 5,000 people. But here's my hunch. That young boy's willingness to share what he had set in motion a miracle that enabled the crowd to be fed. My guess is that if this young boy had come with that much food, there might have been others with more food. And yes, there probably was an element, in fact, I'm sure there was, that we can't explain at all, because that's how Jesus works. He does things that we can't explain, that far exceed anything we can imagine, but he begins his miracles by working through each one of us. So when I read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, I don't try to work out the mathematics of how 5 loaves and 2 fish, whatever they looked like, could feed that many people. I think to myself, not a one of us is too young or too old or too unimportant to work a miracle. God has chosen to work through each one of us to make a difference in this world. It starts small. It may start with bread. It may start with fish. It may start with lunch. It may start with a kind word. Jesus can and does work miracles through each one of us if we are willing to share what we have and if we are willing to share who we are, ourselves. And so whether you are young in age or older or somewhere in between, whatever your age may be, as we think about how Jesus fed a crowd of people, let's remember that he always chooses to work miracles by working through us. May we be available, may we be paying attention, and may we be willing to share what we have so that Jesus' work might be done. I'm going to invite you to join me in a spirit of prayer as we ask God to help us do just that and we'll end our time praying by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. God, you have given us more than enough. Whether it is bread and fish, whether it is kindness and kind words, you have given each one of us something that can be shared, something that might set in motion a wonderful miracle in the life of others. Help us to be willing to do that, and help us to remember that without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we can do all things. This we pray in Christ's name, remembering that he taught his disciples and us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, as we think about a crowd of 5,000 with full stomachs and full hearts, we ask that your presence and your peace fill this place. Give to us open ears and hearts and minds hungry for your wisdom. And may that wisdom be in the midst of my words. Amen. In preparing for today's sermon, focusing on this familiar story of the loaves and fishes, the feeding of the 5,000, I kind of laughed to myself as I read with a perspective shaped by events and realities of these past many months. Perhaps the real miracle in this story is not that there was enough food for everyone, but that there even was an everyone. I know things have relaxed a great deal, but after the times that we've had, it's hard to imagine gathering, let alone sharing a meal, with that many people in one place. Miraculous indeed. Even before a pandemic, this story has always been unbelievable in the very best way. Whether it's for the size of the group that gathered, what and how they ate, or the fact that there even was a group at all. It's a powerful story, mentioned, as Sue said, in each of the four Gospels. It's a story that shows Jesus' compassion, concern, creativity, and commitment to feeding his people, spiritually and physically, and the power of being fed communally. I think Jesus knew that the way to people's hearts was through their stomachs. Consider how many of Jesus' stories we love that center around meals, feasts, and dinner tables. The Gospels are full of references to Jesus eating and drinking with others. He multiplies wine in Cana to keep the party going longer. The religious leaders of his day accuse him of gluttony because he eats with sinners. He accepts the dinner invitation of Simon, a Pharisee, and invites himself to a meal at the home of a hated tax collector, Zacchaeus. These food and feast stories teach us and stick with us in a special way, and the one we read today is no different. Why? Because the table is always where Christ meets us. His last act of love for his disciples before his death is to gather them around and nourish them with bread and cup, his own body and blood. Every time we eat and drink, every time we gather together is a miracle. Every time we share a table, share a pew, share a conversation, a laugh, a loaf, something happens. Jesus knew that, which is why I think he spent a lot of time sharing those exact things with the people he loved and taught. Stories like the one we read today teach us, show us, feed us the abundance of Jesus' compassion and grace, an abundance that so often finds us when we are hungry, an abundance that comes, strangely enough, out of a place of scarcity or disapproval or doubt. Jesus making a feast from a famine, making friends out of foes, wine from water, something out of nothing. And proving once again that there really is enough of the good stuff for us and for everyone, no matter how hungry we are. When we meet Jesus in the beginning of this story, he has just gotten over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And although Jesus was trying to get away from the crowd that day, when he saw tons of hungry people following him, he had compassion towards them. And compassion in this case, as it often does, looks a lot like something to eat. The disciples, however, well, they take one look at the hungry mob and they get nervous. 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for all of these people to get even a little, they say. Now, I'd like to think that the disciples didn't just roll their eyes, exasperated at all the crowds they had been running into recently, or running away from, and turn their backs towards this hungry bunch. There's food on the brain, brunch. And brush off the possibility of feeding them. I really like to think that they were genuinely distressed about this dilemma, that they scrambled to do that mental math, earnestly trying to assess appetites and count heads and think of any way that they could stretch what they had for so many, but just truly coming up short. And then a young boy offers his 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But again, the disciples look over the crowd of 5,000, likely more if we consider women and children, and shake their heads. What are 5 loaves and 2 fish among so many people? Now, before we get down on the disciples in the story for being unimaginative and lacking in compassion and faith, resigned to the fact that they couldn't possibly feed this horde of hungry followers, I'd like to think that the disciples were, in their own way, showing compassion as well, or at least trying to be responsible and realistic and fair, not wanting to run out or shortchange anyone. And really, if I'm honest, I don't think I would have responded much differently than them. We're humans. What is, right? I don't believe that they didn't want to feed the people because they were annoyed or lazy or because they didn't think they deserved to eat, but because they were being perfectly reasonable and logical. What is. It's no more than that. I don't think the mistake the disciples made was not trying or crunching the numbers or wishing that they could do more. I think it was trusting that Jesus could. I think it was forgetting that wherever 2 or 3 or 5,000 are gathered, Christ is there among them. And when Christ is here among us, people get fed. Hunger gets seen and satisfied. I think the disciples kept getting stuck in black and white, in the bottom line, in the unmiraculous and unmysterious, the rational, the reasonable, not trusting that Jesus was one of miracles and mystery, one whose life and work was irrational and unreasonable, one who really did create a kingdom by making somethings out of nothings. And aren't we so often just like the disciples, trying but not trusting? How often do we underestimate God? God's love, God's grace, God's ability to feed, to redeem, to use us and our meager gifts, to fill in the gaps, to do what we never thought possible, to show up with more just when we thought we had run out, to make something out of nothing. I have a theory that behind every one of Christ's miracles is a group of people who, somewhere along the line, lost hope. People who thought it was all over, who resigned themselves to death or illness or suffering or starvation or isolation. A group of people who, for so many reasons, not their fault, only saw what wasn't, not what was, and certainly not what could be. And I have to believe that Christ wants more for his people, then and now. In fact, I know he does. And how do I know? Because time and time again, that place of resignation is precisely where Christ shows up and does his best work. That is where Christ steps in and does miracles. When Jesus feeds the 5,000, he does more than feed their stomachs, although that helps. He encourages hungry, needy, weary people to sit down together, to notice and to attend to each other, to share what they have, to take pleasure not only in the possibility of their own fullness, but in the fullness of the whole. This story from John is a reminder to us that when we offer what we can, even from a place of scarcity, especially from a place of scarcity, even when we know it won't be enough, God shows up miraculously and creates abundance for all. The point is not to underestimate the mystery or the miracle. The point is not to hoard or scheme or conserve or quantify. The point is to enjoy the abundance we have together, to learn that in God's kingdom, there is enough, not just enough for one, but for many. You know the end of this story. No one went hungry that day on the mountain. The disciples handed out basket after basket of bread and fish, and they had enough. In fact, there was some left over. They had each other. They had dined and experienced a miracle of abundance together. And they were amazed, so amazed, in fact, that it caused them to recognize Jesus, to see him in a new light as the prophet they had heard about. Because only the Son of God could make that much something out of that little nothing. Maybe after the past year and a half, we are in an especially good position to appreciate Jesus' vision. We too have been hungry, have we not? Hungry for community, for routine, for hope. We too have been scattered. We have known the loneliness of an empty table, an unused guest room, church with the doors closed, a fast from communion. We have discovered in a whole new way the realization of how sacred and life-giving it is to gather, and how much we ache and yearn when we can't. We've experienced in urgent ways how much our humanity depends on togetherness, being hungry together and finding nourishment together. And all of it has made us poised for a miracle. Looking back on where we have been as individuals, as a church community, and as a world, I'd say that the miracle that day on the mountaintop is the same miracle that meets us here in this place, that there is a place set for all, and that there is an all at all. May we remain hungry for the nourishment that Christ offers us and continues to offer us day in and day out, even as we rejoice in the fullness we experience as a people gathered. Miraculous indeed. Amen.